or debit card, we're going to be here for the next 3 hours to take your calls. 1-800-280-3414. 1-800-280-3414. This is Sister Barbara. Until our next program, God bless you.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord. You're listening to the Discipleship Now radio broadcast with your host, Pastor Hilton Wells. Stay tuned and allow the Holy Spirit to give you power, insight, and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed.
Not only our good, but even our bad. The example of the bad is we're not doing bad anymore. That's what Paul was saying. Paul said, I was the one persecuting the Christians. I had them hauled off to jail. I held the coats of all the old men that stoned Stephen to death. I was a chief sinner. Y'all don't have to raise your hand, but I believe I'm not alone. There was somebody out there that sinned pretty big. But you've been washed, but you've been justified, but you've been sanctified, but you've been redeemed. Thank God for the blood and the grace of Jesus Christ. But if we're saved, people of God, we must be the example. We have to be the example of what it means to live righteous. We have to be the example of what it means to be givers. We have to be the example of what it means to love. We have to be the example of what it means to forgive. And guess what? We're not doing this in our own strength. How many know it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to live right? We can't be an example without him. But if we say we're saved, guess what? We're an example. And we have to let Christ on the inside of us begin to live his life on the outside of us for the world to see. That's why he says we have to let our light shine. It's already in us, but we have to let it shine. Why? Because we are the example because we have been saved. And if we've been saved, we've been sanctified. If we've been saved, we've been accepted. If we've been saved, we are victorious. And if we're saved, we ought to set the example. Tell somebody, I'm saved today. I'm saved. I'm saved. And if I'm saved, it means that I am sanctified. If I'm saved, it means I am accepted. If I'm saved, it means I am victorious. If I'm saved, it means I'm setting the example. And finally, if I'm saved, it means that I've been delivered. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, again, we find Paul, who wrote a third of the New Testament. In the book of Colossians, he's teaching about Christ as the head. And in this particular verse, he tells us what we've been delivered from. Verse number 13, he says, for he has rescued, the NIV says, us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. The King James, who had delivered us, verse 13, from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I'm going to ask, if you have the King James, would you stand? And I want to read this together. This is probably the most important of all of the five of the acronym for saved. Verse number 13, King James readers, let's read this strong amen with our preacher voice. Ready, read. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. You may be seated. When you look at this verse here, this verse lets us know that darkness has power. But the question is, do we submit ourselves to the power of darkness? It has power. Satan has power. In the book of Acts, there were seven sons who had a father named Sceva. And these seven sons decided that they would go and try to cast out a devil. And those seven sons said, "We cast you out, or we adjure you to come out in the name of Jesus that Paul preached." The problem was they didn't know Jesus firsthand. You can't cast out a devil on a secondary basis. You have to know who Jesus is. And see, we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. What would you think about me if y'all seen me out there on Billy Goat Hill at New Orleans Ladies on Saturday night? Now, there would people still come to church, say, "He hip." Yeah. There would be some people that do, because that's the kind of church some folk want. But I want you to know that's not a church at all. Because if you're a church, you've been sanctified. You've been set apart. You've been delivered from one kingdom to another. Out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And listen, saints, because that's who we are if you've been born. You're a saint. And since we've been delivered from that kingdom, how many know we shouldn't hang around in that kingdom anymore? And anytime that kingdom go to pulling for us, we have to say, "Satan, get behind me. Satan, I cast you out." And sometimes it's not Satan, it's our own flesh. We have to tell that flesh, "Flesh, you're dead. I'm now alive in Christ Jesus, and flesh, you don't have power over me." Somebody may say, "But that's hard, Pastor." Let me tell you, it's not if you're reading your Bible. It's not if you're coming to church. One of the greatest things Satan does to keep immature believers immature is keep them at home. Amen. He'll do it now. Revival coming on. Boy, every kind of thing in the world happened. Stuff off the Richter scale just happened. It's revival. And revival be 3 nights. You got to know that's the devil. You got to know that. Satan don't want you to go forward in God. Satan don't want you to come out of the world. But see, sometimes when people are in the world, they don't realize if Satan got them in the world comfortable. And the moment they come out, then they really start fulfilling their destiny. And Satan don't want that. Any wise enemy, any wise general will try to make sure that his enemy never get their supplies. He said, when you're dealing in military warfare, the first thing is cut off logistics, cut off the water supply, take out the railroads, take out any type of supply so the enemy will be shut off. And that's what Satan does. He says, "Let me keep them out of the house of God so they don't have strength. Let me tell all them folks, them Christians, they ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites and fakers. Well, come on in. We can use you." The Holy Ghost working on all of us. Amen. But how many know I can't judge you if I'm working on me? Because if I got time to tell you what's wrong with you, you ain't evaluating yourself too much. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about righteous judgment, but I'm saying judgment all the time. You know, this going on. I was talking to one lady in a public place, and I asked her, "You know, you been going to church?" And she said, "No, I ain't been going." I said, "Why not?" She said, "Well, you know, the same people in church, when I'm leaving church, they say A, B, and C." Let me tell y'all, that ain't number Satan. It's Satan. And he wise. He'll use anything. Because what you don't see, you're looking at the natural. Yeah, it's them people. But Satan, like a puppet master, pulling string. Say, "I got them." They won't get the deliverance because they won't come to the house of God. They won't get strengthened because I got them at home, isolated, bitter, upset, pulling strings. And then I asked the lady, I said, "Well, ma'am, Did you ever tell any of these people about how you felt?
No.
But Satan makes sure you never say anything so that you feel justified in how you feel and the behavior you're carrying on with. Because if you have to actually go address them, now that's an opportunity for God to show truth. Don't let him deceive you. If you're saved, live a sanctified life. If you're saved, especially young people, know that you already accepted. You don't have to jump through hoops to be somebody's friend. I know I talk about this a lot, but I know it's the truth. Facebook, one of the greatest weapons for pride and vanity. How do I know? As soon as something happened, take a picture, post it. Break your leg trying to post something on Facebook. Post it. Did you see me? I was in Hawaii. Did you see me? I climbed Mount Everest. Did you see me? I was just walking. Did you see me? I was just waking up this morning. Did you see me? Got to post every doggone thing. Vanity and pride. That's what it ended up building up in us. And don't even realize it. And then throughout the day, how many people liked it? Man, John ain't like me. He must don't like me in real life. That doggone John. I know. I was on there. Got off. Messing with my spirit. All this stuff going on. Living life for cyberspace. A world that don't even exist. I'm telling you. Man, I was driving and Facebooking. See, when you're dealing with, you know, people who work, how do you say, workaholics, you know, you got to get every task done. So I don't want to see no numbers on there. Five numbers, let me get it down to none. All right, good. But while you're scrolling, you're seeing all kind of stuff on that, taking your life, energy, and time away from you. Facebooking your life away. I sound mean, but I'm not. And I'm not against Facebook. But I think you'd do a lot better without it. Being honest with you. How many, don't raise your hand, then seen some on Facebook and you was okay? You woke up this morning good. You was good. And then looked at Facebook and said, no, they didn't. Now you got to go to work with, no, they didn't, spirit. Amen. And you was all right before you checked it. Amen. They ain't even there with you on a phone, on a tablet. The power of social media. Just about I am saved. If you're saved, live a sanctified life. See, sometimes it make you have to make decisions. In the beginning stages of salvation, I'm going to be honest, it's beautiful. When you first get saved, man, it seemed like, ooh-wee, you pray for stuff and it just calm. Don't nothing bother you. It's just Jesus. See, you telling everybody, Jesus, Jesus. I'm telling my folk that really got saved. Yeah, Jesus, 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 Jesus. You're three. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You're four. Sometimes you might not come to church. I'm just saying, if you don't become a disciple, don't be consistent. Oh, it's the truth. I've seen it. You're 10. If you didn't become a strong disciple, you might just backslide at your 10. Amen. But as we grow in this thing, we have to continue to mature. So at any point of the game, can I talk like that? If the Holy Spirit talked to you, you have to be willing to say yes. Because what will happen is we'll get it in pride and arrogance and religion and say, oh, well, I'm cool. I got it. You didn't see my dress? Below the knee, no makeup, you know. Oh, you know, we was raised, you couldn't preach in short sleeves and, you know, everything had to be dressed right, dressed. Nothing wrong with that, but that's not tied to my salvation. That's just a protocol for presentation. The real thing is what's going on in your heart. Amen. Now, that don't mean I just go out there and go buck wild in the name of Jesus because I'm under grace either. Amen. But it's about the relationship. And in that relationship, Christ will teach us. So as we're maturing in Christ, we have to make sure we keep on growing because everything's not going to be super easy. But even when it's difficult, he still gives you the answer. He says, it's in my word. And if my word is, if you in my word and my word is in you, you can ask what you want. We in John 15. He said, I'll give it to you. A lot of times we don't get things because we haven't got to the point to where we want what he wants. We still want what we want. And how many know sometimes what we want ain't good for us? I mean, I can want a Budweiser right now. That don't mean I need to go buy one. Amen. And I ain't got to go that deep. I could want me two